become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. Listening to Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Yeah!
Woohoo!
Hello, everyone! Welcome to the show! It is time for an Entertainment Landfill ETL Daily Hybrid, if you will. Why not just call it Entertainment Landfill? Hey guys, I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. I also am here with Steven! Steven the Pop Culture Zealot!
Hey, hello!
And Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian! Hello, Bill! How's it going, buddy?
Hey, everything's excellent. How are you?
Good. What the hell? I kind of went mono there for a second. I'm having audio issues.
You have mono?
Did I sound mono to you for a second?
No.
It like all went right.
I get
channel.
A little scratchy in my left ear.
Yeah, something wrong with the switch. Hold on, let me fix this. Hello, testing. Check. Sibilance. Okay, I think that's okay. Right? I guess. Oh, hey, Bill. How's it going?
Excellent.
Nice to have you and Steven here at the same time. Pretty awesome.
Woo-hoo!
Nice to have you guys here. I thought we should do a show, any kind of show. What the hell does it matter? As long as the three of us get together and talk about stuff. Am I right?
Yes.
Because it's been a while since all three of us. Like, it's either me and Bill, me and Steven, or something like that. But it's cool. And I'm glad you guys are here. And I'm ready to talk about film, television, pop culture news. I've got some voicemail. There's nothing better than, I don't care when it shows up, if it's like a minute before the show. When we get voicemail, I'm happy. It means that there are people listening to the show and they still like us enough to send in their feedback. Because guys, without feedback, I'm not kidding. I start to doubt everything. I feel like a guy on the moon. Just sending out, transmission. Or, I don't have to be on the moon. I could be in a basement on Earth, couldn't I? I'm sending a transmission out to Alpha Centauri trying to hear something back. Well, I got 4 messages back today. So that's
awesome.
Pretty cool. That's somebody in Alpha Centauri is listening. Isn't that where Jodie Foster went in contact?
I thought it was Vega.
Vega.
Oh, yeah.
The Vega system, or it wasn't Vega system, but maybe Alpha Centauri is one of the, is it the son of the Vegas? I don't know.
I haven't seen that movie in a while, but, I remember when we first saw that in theater. Do you remember that part where, Tom Skerritt basically stole the gig from her and he's gonna go? And then creepy Gary Busey is on camera. Or not Gary
no,
Busey.
No, it's Jake Busey.
Creepy Jake Busey is on camera, and he kind of smiles, and he basically...
Jake Busey was the go-to creepster of the 90s.
Yeah, he was like, he blew himself up, didn't he? And killed everybody.
He did.
Yeah. And I remember, like, Heather, she was, like, real creeped out and hated him after that, because he was so creepy in that scene.
Oh, but he's so great in Starship Troopers.
Yes, he is. You gotta love him playing that, like, neon violin fiddle,
And he's still one of my favorite, villains from, The Frighteners.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, he was, what was his name? Johnny something.
Yeah.
But he was great in that.
Yeah, and he would put numbers on people's heads or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a good bad guy. And also, don't forget about the short-lived TV show with Seth Green. No, was it Shasta McNasty?
Shasta McNasty.
Do you guys remember that show? Everyone,
for some reason, I think Shasta McNasty and I think Jamie Kennedy, but that was,
Yeah, everybody go on IMDb or YouTube and type in Shasta McNasty. It's a short-lived, fantastic show with Jake Busey. I actually
It was fantastic, much like Firefly was fantastic and short-lived, right?
I think I just made fun of the commercials. I never actually watched it.
No one watched Shasta McNasty.
One thing, Bill, that I'm happy with is we finally fixed our live broadcast sound.
Yeah, we did. We worked a little bit on that today.
Yes, finally figured it out. And that's great. Now, if only somebody would listen live, they would know the difference.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's in there. Last week, but she's sitting next to me, and I can't find my headphone splitter, or else I would just plug her into the audio. She tried listening on her laptop, and there was just so much of a delay, it started to confuse her. then she zoned out.
Right. Well, she could go into the other room, like Heather's right now listening to the room, and I said, hey, you could listen and just kind of get a blank stare, you know, like, I'm watching TV, dude. No, but we've got Credo. Hey, he's listening. Darren, Zell. Hey, welcome, guys. Welcome to the live feed. Nice of you guys to listen. It's great to have an audience again. And, hey, give me any thumbs up. Is the sound quality good? Everything? HD radio. Everything's on. Awesome.
It sounded okay whenever we tried it earlier. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, there she is. Now she's got it. If you hold on a second, because now I'm getting feedback. Hold on.
No shit. What's going on?
I'm just telling her how to pop the chat room out of the NimChat page. There's a little window on the. Okay, you got it. Okay, now close the NimChat page so I don't hear it.
Okay.
Oh, you want to hear it? Oh, okay. All right. Fine. You're good. Sorry. Yeah, I'm an asshole.
All right. I've just got my computer all set up. Why don't computers make that sound? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I wish it did.
Let me turn on my laptop here.
Well, the Apple has a nice turn-on sound. Awesome. They've always had that.
If that didn't sound so crappy, I would love to have that as a phone sound. You know,
there's something charming about the pop and hiss from the vinyl it was obviously ripped from.
Well, actually, you know what I pulled that from? From an episode of Felix the Cat.
Really? Sounded like Felix it came off one of those stock, like, albums of sounds.
Mr. Felix. God, I loved old Felix the Cat.
Probably could find some computer sounds off of the Logan's Run.
The Master Cylinder! Sorry, I'm still doing Felix the Cat.
I don't think I've ever seen Felix the Cat.
Oh, God, I love that show. It was so weird. I thought it was kind of creepy in a weird way that Felix would always get tied up in every episode. Didn't you think there was like a weird bondage thing? Like, I'm tied up. I can't move. And like they would gag Felix. And it was like, dude, the professor's into some kinky shit. He's always tying that cat up.
Tying that cat up.
He likes bound cats. It's kind of weird.
What about bound? Never mind. I'm not going there.
Thank you, Bill. I'm proud of you for not going there.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Master Cylinder.
Yes, we're back.
A Master Cylinder and Rock Bottom. He was like a dog with a cigar. Now, hey, guys, I want to get into some little bit of entertainment-type stuff, Bill and Steven.
Yeah.
I read this. You probably guys have read this all week. I know, Steven, you keep up with the trades. Mm-hmm. George Lucas says Disney didn't want to do his version of Star Wars Episode 7.
Right.
That's because they're smart.
More than 2 years after he sold his empire to Disney, George Lucas.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah, you see that? George Lucas is enjoying his retirement from making Star Wars movies, not to mention his retirement from people getting angry at him for making Star Wars movies. So when Cinema Blend asked Lucas about his contribution to Episode 7, the filmmaker responded that Disney basically ignored his ideas for the new trilogy. He explained that he sold his ideas to Disney, but they came up to the decision that they didn't really want to do those, so they made up their own. And that's basically all he said, and that's the story.
Well, thank God for that.
And then,
I appreciate him for creating the world, but he really should have just laid off a long time ago.
Right. He wanted to concentrate on strange magic, Bill.
Yeah, you know what? It looks cool.
Visually, it looks cool. I looked on Rotten Tomatoes at Strange Magic. It's 9% rotten.
Oh!
And it says 59% of the audience score liked it. And that has a bucket overturned of popcorn, I guess, is that symbol. So that's not good.
Oh, that's too bad.
Strange Magic isn't very magical, but it sure is strange. Oh, that's a good review there.
Was it written by George Lucas or just the story idea by him?
Let's see. Written by David Birnbaum, Irene Mecki, and Gary Rydstrom. Holy shit, Gary Rydstrom directed it. He's the guy who does all the cool sound editing. He's won multiple Oscars for all of his Lucasfilm sound editing. And the guy's, he's a master. And he directed this. That's cool. Let's see. On the surface, it has all the makings of a fantasy cult classic. Strange characters, musical interludes, and a Jim Henson-like flair. Too bad the plot, music, and jokes are lackluster. At most, they'll make you want to watch another better fantasy film. This makes The Phantom Menace look like Empire Strikes Back, said Matt Singer of Screen Crush.
Ouch.
The plot movement feels much like an unpleasant formality, shoved forward by tiresome devices. And then, you know, I was looking over Drew McWeeny's review, and it was pretty bad, too.
See, I trust Drew McWeeny. I feel he's the most, what would you say, partial film critic out there. Like, he's willing to give anything a chance, but whenever it's truly awful, he just does not hold back. He reminds me a lot of the way Roger Ebert used to delight in writing bad reviews for shitty movies.
Right, right, right. Yeah, he basically said that it was kind of creepy with the strange magic potion, I guess, that's in it. It's kind of like...
Love potion number 9?
Roofing someone.
Singing strange magic.
He said there's something creepy about it. I don't know, Bill, do you have any idea who Melissa Benoist is? I don't even know how to say her name. She is the new Supergirl. CBS has cast the new Supergirl, which I'm still not sure why CBS wants it on their channel. It should be on the CW with the Flash. And
they're trying to compete with them, though, I guess.
Well, CW is actually tied into CBS. It's still a CBS company, but they decided they wanted it to be on CBS.
They want their teen... Show's she, going to.
She, Bill, have you seen the movie Whiplash yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, she's the love interest in Whiplash, so if you ever see it, that will be the new Supergirl, whoever is the love interest. So I need to check that out to know who she is. Now, Bill, did you check out any of those Amazon pilots?
What? No, none of the new ones.
I checked out The Man in the High Castle, the one it's about, the Axis wins and defeats America in World War II, and basically America is split into two sides, the Nazi side and the Japanese side. And, yeah, and it's dealing with the resistance, kind of setting up a resistance of people who want America back and that kind of thing. One thing I was pleasantly surprised by is it looks gorgeous, and it looks like they did spend some money on it, and it looks... The production values are awesome. It was very slow moving, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And it has potential, but it is really depressing. It's not like you're really like, oh, wow, this is fun. It's kind of like a really glum thing to watch. Basically, you know, when Nazis feel like it, they drag you in the street and shoot you in the head, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, that's kind of a bummer.
Sounds like this year's comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy hit. CBS Thursdays.
Yeah, good stuff, huh? Now, this is only helpful to anyone who's listening right now. When this is a podcast, this deal will be over. But Amazon kind of celebrating that Transparent won some Golden Globes, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the 72nd annual Golden Globe, so... Their show won a Golden Globe, for Jeffrey Tambor, and I think Best Comedy, I think also. Was that what won? I can't remember.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I mean, it was nominated in other categories that it didn't win, I believe, but they're celebrating by making Amazon Prime $72 for one day. So tomorrow it will be $72 instead of $99. Is that what it usually is?
Yeah.
So, that's a really good deal. And, I remember we were talking about with Adam Sexton that it's not just, free shipping on everything, but it's also, you have access to all of their TV shows. The ones that aren't current, like you have to pay episodes for. It's a huge library of, movies and TV shows like Netflix, essentially, right?
Yeah, and I've actually been very impressed with their offerings. In fact, they stole all of the BBC, PBS, like Masterpiece stuff away from Netflix, and along with a lot of the British broadcasting stuff. And now they have it exclusively on Amazon Prime, and a lot of it's gone from Netflix, or will be gone at the end of this month.
Wow. And, I remember Adam was telling me this, and I kind of read up on it. And tell me, do you have any kind of Kindle device?
I do.
Because apparently you get 2 books per month or something?
You do. You get 2 books a month, and there's also like a lending library.
Oh,
that
nice.
Like you can trade books and stuff. I think I've never used it, but I know Prime has that, and there's also Prime Photos where you can store photos. I use the music service all the time. I use the
Explain to me the music service, because I was reading about that.
Well, the music service, it's streaming without commercials, but also whenever there's an album that is classified as a Prime album, you can actually download it to your device, like your phone or whatnot, and not have to pay for it.
Nice.
So, and there's a lot of albums on there that are free for Prime and are really great. So I use Amazon Prime a lot. I mean, it's not just the, free 2-day shipping or $3.99 next day.
Right. And I,
so yeah, it's wonderful.
It offers free shipping, but you don't need it. Two-day shipping or something like that. If you choose to have it, like, take 5 days, I don't care, then they'll give you $1 credit to spend on a movie or something.
Yeah, but I normally don't do that because it always comes USPS, and I just can't stand getting stuff from the Postal Service. It just,
right.
It always takes forever. Well, so I always elect to use the free 2-day, and it almost always comes next day.
Oh, I love that. And, this is a good timing because, we were just talking about Bosch finally coming out in February, the end of February. And it's a good time to get it because I sure as hell want to watch that show. We waited long enough to see it, and I just hope it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Bosch and... I noticed that Jake Gyllenhaal movie, Enemy, is on there now on Amazon, Prime, whatever, whenever you rent it or whatever. But that's like one of those crazy, Invasion of the Body Snatchers type films. And it got, a lot of, really good reviews. And they're saying that they were surprised that Gyllenhaal didn't get recognized for it even though he was very good in Nightcrawler, a lot of people felt he was much better in this Enemy film.
Wow. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. I guess it just flew totally under the radar for most people, but it's fantastic apparently.
Sounds cool, man. That's cool. So I'm definitely going to get that. That's a great deal tomorrow. And, like I said, anybody who's listening now doesn't have it. That's a great deal. And also, Bill, I was reading that some people said, well, this is bullshit because I already have it and I paid $99. But people were saying, no, no, no. What you do is you buy it as a gift for somebody, but you keep it until your $99 expires, your year that you paid for.
Yeah,
expires.
You just have to make sure you turn off auto renew because that normally is what it does.
Right, right. And then you can use it. Or you could call and complain until they, give you your money. What is it, like $27 back or something?
Yeah, and I'm sure there will be plenty of people to do that.
Hey, this is some bullshit, man. Or something like that. That's my voice of a guy complaining. You guys like that?
Yes.
It was good.
Do you guys care at all about Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight?
No.
Not really.
Do you guys remember, it was like a last year or a year and a half ago when his script leaked online and he was like, well, I'm not going to make it now. But now, he is making it. We even saw a trailer in the theater for it.
Yeah, we all knew he would make it. I mean, he's just a notorious brat. I mean, he's a great filmmaker, but he's a brat.
Well, I mean, I can honestly understand if my script leaked online, it would piss me off. If I was Quentin Tarantino, if it was me, I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, it would be like, oh, more publicity, hey, which is exactly what it was.
Read my thing. But they've listed the cast of the film, and this is going to be a shocker, you guys. I can't believe he cast Samuel L. Jackson in the movie.
Oh.
Next
thing you're going to tell me he cast Zoe Bell.
Yes, Zoe Bell. Yes, she's in it. And also Kurt Russell, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Walton Goggins, Tim Roth.
I like that choice.
I like Tim Roth, Michael Madsen, got some Reservoir Dogs in there, Bruce Dern, Channing Tatum. Sounds like it's going to be pretty badass.
Not Tatum Channing.
Tatum Channing, Channing Tatum. sounds cool. But the coolest is Lee Horsley. You know who that is, guys. Matt Houston from TV. Do you guys remember Matt Houston?
Jesus. Wow.
Steven, did you ever watch Matt Houston? What Matt Houston theme song? I want to see if I remember this.
That was the guy that looked like John Holmes, right?
Remember, he was a swamp MF-er. He got all the ladies. That one smooth.
Shut your mouth.
And Bill, there's Matt Houston episodes on YouTube if you want to watch it.
I'll pass.
I'm like this, I'm going to pass.
Yeah, the sound quality's horrible. Let's see if this one's better.
No.
This is a little bit better.
Yeah.
Still heard a high-pitched whine in it.
Oh, yeah, man. This thing is rocking. Okay, so
is he like the poor man's Tom Selleck?
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like Johnny Watt Holmes.
And here, I'm going to blow you guys' minds right here. Is that correct grammar, you guys's?
Yeah.
He was the star of The Sword and the Sorcerer. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
The guy had like a three-bladed sword, and he goes, yeah, and chops all their swords in half. Man, that was cool. He was the star of that. He looked like Errol Flynn in the face, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
He had those like old Hollywood good looks, but he's going to be in The Hateful Eight.
You're quite the admirer of Matt Houston.
It's just so
he's dreamy.
That mustache.
I don't know if
someone wants a mustache, Ryan.
Have you guys been watching MasterChef Kids?
Yes.
No.
I just read this, that MasterChef dumps chimp scene after PETA complains.
Oh, come on.
Gordon Ramsay wasn't going to cook a chimp, but PETA was still irked about the upcoming chimpanzee-related episode of MasterChef Junior.
Were they going to have to cook for the chimp?
I don't know.
Got to cook.
That would have been amazing.
Good little bastard.
let's just bash his brains in here. And
all of a sudden it's turned into Faces of Death. They're going to put him in the center of the table. Everyone gets a bat.
Everyone, all you children get your little knockers here, and then you just cram them in the head there. Yeah, but apparently Fox is going to not air it. We did tape a segment with a supervised chimpanzee under an on-set supervision of the American Humane Association, but for creative reasons, we do not plan to include any of the material in any of our episodes. Boo! Because there's
one wasted monkey.
There's nothing better than chimpanzees, am I right?
God, I love them. Just the other night, I was showing Natalie a Lancelot Link in the Evolution Revolution.
It's like, nice.
Lancelot Link Synchro Chimp is the greatest show ever made.
What do you?
It's like Get Smart with monkeys.
Oh yeah, and I know Credo loved that show too.
Oh.
Now, Bill. Oh. Please try to hide your disdain at least.
I hate that show.
Now, Bill, what do you think
of show.
Mordecai?
Mordecai is getting ravaged. Before you saw
the reviews, though, were you interested in seeing it all?
Yes, because I like the books. Mordecai's based on the first one, Don't Point That Thing at Me. And I read that and thought it was hilarious.
Is he supposed to be like a Bean type character or?
No, he's an art dealer, kind of, Pink Panther-ish type of character. The books are really crude. I wasn't surprised by the R rating. Well, I was surprised by the R rating because I thought they would tone it down, but I was looking forward to it until I read how awful it was.
There are some good reviews of it. There's just not that many. Like, if you have an allergy to pure goofballery, this is not the movie for you. Spend your Depp bucks elsewhere. The humor is, what's that word, Steven? Puerile and idiotic, but you may laugh out loud in spite of yourself. Especially if you're familiar with the Carry On movies or the Pink Panther.
Then I would enjoy it.
There was no laughter, just grim resolve on the part of those us professionally obligated to stick it out through the bitter end.
Wow. There was a headline I saw today just scanning through Facebook, and it was, is Mordecai the worst film for everyone involved?
Yes.
And I was just like, whoa, ouch.
Let's see. It says, every time Depp gave a phlegmy little stammer and jauntily uttered lines like, I say, old bean, I wanted to bop him on the same with a rotten tangerine. Okay. David Edelstein for.
Yeah, but David Edelstein's an asshole. Seriously, he's one of the biggest douchebag reviewers on the face of the planet.
It's kind of like, you know, when I see a comedy totally trash like this, I start to wonder if everyone's just got something up their ass. Like, okay, I know,
I'm too highbrow for this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, people naturally shit all over Norbit, but if you sit down and watch Norbit, you'll laugh at things. There's some stupid shit in the movie. But I'm telling you, it's not so awful that you have to change the channel. It's surprisingly watchably bad.
It is. I agree.
There's a difference between so bad you can't watch it and something so bad you just watch it and you're laughing your ass off, you know?
I love that you quoted David Edelstein, though, because I'm not going to let this go. This guy shows up on CBS Sunday morning almost every week whenever there's a big film being released, and he sits there in his black background and perfect lighting, and he talks in this very highfalutin, just snobbery manner, and he's one of those guys that loves to use his like literature knowledge. He reminds me of the movie review version of Adam Sessler in his game reviews.
Uh-huh.
Where he's like going out of his way to use his literature degree to emphasize how good or bad a movie is. And he does the same thing on NPR's Fresh Air. Like it's just, he's the one reviewer that I cannot stand. And when he says he likes something, I'm like, oh, great. He liked it. Like just, he gets under my skin.
I didn't like this.
Oh, this was awful.
Oh. So disgusting.
They didn't serve a cheese plate.
Here's another guy, stale, strained, and sadly dismal, considering all parties involved. Mordecai wants to be a globe-trotting, roguish romp, crossing the globe in a bespoke suit, but it feels more like a brandy-soaked nap in Granddad's threadbare housecoat. Wow.
That was painful.
That review. Like,
somebody sat down and went, "Oh my God, am I eloquent?"
I had a similar thing. I watched the new show last night called Backstrom on Fox.
Yeah.
So did we.
It's starring Rainn Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. The reviews, I think it's kind of like almost work. There's something psychological that happens when you read such horrible reviews that when you watch it, I start to go, it's not that bad, you know?
Right.
I think that Rainn Wilson's character was a little over the top, but I think that that will tone it down in consecutive episodes. You know how they tend to overdo it for, like, the pilot episode?
Exactly.
I really think, but it's like the reviews were scathing of it, and I'm just like, why can't they just say, or, you know, at least I would say, is like, maybe it'll get better. There were some things about it that I liked. There's some things where I was like, I thought it was a little over the top, yes, but would I say it's scathingly awful? I don't know. What did you think of it, Bill?
You know what? I thought that, again, Rainn Wilson was a little over the top, a little too nihilistic. Just, you know, it was, I think they're feeling out the character. You right. can't watch any pilot to a television show with a character that is supposed to be quirky and
yeah.
not think that it's a little too much.
Well, let's face it. Also, that is such a formula now with like House or
yeah.
The Monk, Psych, The Mentalist, where there's these guys who solve crimes the way no one else can, and there's something quirky about them. You know, House, he's an asshole, but right. he's really good at what he does.
Backstrom, he's an asshole, but he's really good at what he does.
Yes, The Mentalist, he's funny, but he rubs people the wrong way. Monk, you know, he's got OCD really bad.
Right.
Psych, I think, you know, he's just a funny, goofy guy that no one takes seriously.
Right, yeah.
And he's pretending mm-hmm. to be psychic.
Right.
You know, it's...
He's just a good observation.
Right. These shows are, you know, procedurals, but I like the idea of a procedural that's also funny, because whenever... I never watched Psych consecutively, like, week after week.
Right.
But I could sit down and watch any episode of that show, and it doesn't matter what season it is, and you can just laugh and enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have no mm-hmm. idea what's going on in the continuity of the characters, but still, it's something you could sit down. And there's a place for shows like that, and that's fine. Everything doesn't have to be like this big mythology and this underlying story and stuff like that. That's okay.
Well, for a while they tried that. You know, there was, we went through the Lost formula, with a yeah. lot of shows. I think every network tried it
and
failed miserably.
And it does work on, you know, when it does work, it's good. But I'm just saying that when I watch a show like Backstrom, I'm like, I know this isn't going to be that kind of show. And I watch it for what it is.
Right.
Like one thing, you know, I kept talking about, I don't want to drive everybody crazy, but, you know, I finished the entire run of The Wire, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so good that when you do watch other shows, it's just like, wow. Like say, you know, a lot of it has to do with cops investigating murders and stuff like that. And then when I watch a show that I like and I watch every week, Chicago PD, you see how thin it is, you know, how, you know, The Wire, the characters are so lifelike and realistic and they give them so much like.
It's like the early Shield kind of stuff. And
right. I would say it's better than the Shield.
Well, I would say kind of like that.
The realism about it. But then if you watch a procedural cop show, it's just like, yeah, you know, but I mean, okay. Yeah. I know this isn't the same thing, but still at the same time. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I don't know, if I was a movie reviewer, I just think they trash things, really, without giving them much of a chance.
But yeah, you need, what is it? Yeah, you gotta be slightly less critical or, I don't know, it comes across really bad whenever you're exceedingly rude about something.
You're
but,
just like entertaining yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing I kept getting mad about. Bad reviews I'd read of Marco Polo, and I finally watched another episode of Marco Polo, episode 6, and it was so damn good, and every time I watch it, I'm like, what's wrong with this show? I don't get it. This show was awesome.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
It's so freaking good, man. Okay.
You know, I was going through some headlines, and I saw that they brought on... the most annoying actress from True Blood to Hannibal.
Oh, who?
Rutina Wesley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they brought her on for a character on Hannibal this season.
Well, you know, nothing against the actress. She was playing a role, so.
True. I'm gonna have a really Tara. Hard time separating her from, the character from...
Well, you never know. When you see her, she might not look anything like Tara, and it maybe...
Tara, that was the name. You know, I even blocked the name out.
When it's so funny watching The Wire, how there's so many actors on that show that I've seen from every other things, that I realized, like, in season 4 of The Wire, I was watching that one of the characters on there, Carver, is the Father Gabriel on The Walking Dead. I was like, holy shit, he's on The Walking Dead too! I didn't even think about this guy. Like, I can understand Robert Kurtzman, like, he's like, oh, I need all these The Wire actors on here. I love that show. It's like, dude, I'm sorry, but your show's nowhere as good, though.
Oh, she's playing the blind woman that gets in a relationship with Frances Dolarhyde.
See, that's cool. I mean, it sounds like a totally different kind of role. She's going to show you her chops.
So she just has to stare blankly into space, which is pretty much what she did on True Blood.
Well, not exactly.
I'm sorry. No, I'll give it a chance. I love Hannibal. They know what they're doing.
Right. I still
they
need
certainly
to
have
that.
The talented writers. That,
I've got 5 episodes, Bill, and I need to watch those before it starts this summer.
Oh, yeah. You really... I still can't believe they moved it to summer.
You know, when did it usually start? Like March?
Yeah, it normally starts like in like late winter.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it'll work in summer. That scares me that they're messing with the schedule of Hannibal.
Yeah, they're like, nobody watches it anyway.
The season 3 trailer is stunning.
I haven't watched it yet because I'm afraid it'll give away some kind of spoilers because I have 5 episodes.
Oh, yeah, it will.
Oh, okay. So I know.
Yeah, don't watch that.
Okay.
Please don't watch that.
What other kind of stories did you see this week that you want to talk about?
That was, you know what? That was pretty much, you know, the regular stories that I saw. I know that, the Duplass brothers are doing, they signed a contract to do 4 films with Netflix.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting.
They have a new HBO series too.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's, shit. I can't think of what it's called. But yes, they have a new HBO series called Togetherness. That's what it is.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did you know that, that movie that, I believe Mark Duplass did, Duplass, called,
Safety Not Guaranteed?
Yes, Bill, that's what it was.
I wasn't sure which one you were going for.
Did he write that?
I believe so. I'm going to have to look it up, though.
But I thought that was so good. I really enjoyed that movie. And, of course, that director, he was like, he gets to do, you know, the new Jurassic World movie. And it's so funny that the way that works, like, it's like, okay, he went from this to dinosaurs. I don't get it, but okay.
Well, you know, it had a sci-fi vibe, and there were some pretty impressive set pieces for an indie movie.
Yeah.
In Safety Not Guaranteed.
And it wasn't just like, it was funny, but it was also very charming.
Yeah, it was funny, it was charming, it was sad. It was just really well done. And I know he was, I'm looking on his, Wikipedia, and I guess, he was hired with another person to write the remake of Flight of the Navigator.
Really?
Yeah.
You are the Navigator. Wow, that's cool. Well, what's cool about this is Netflix, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but, they were partnering with the Weinstein Company to make a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel. That was the first thing I heard, and I thought that was cool. You know, why can't Netflix, you know, they do TV shows, but they can make movies too. And then Amazon announced that they're going to produce and acquire original films. And
I think that's a genius business move.
It is, because say if you're a filmmaker that's shopping it around to studios, why not go to a place Amazon. Where you know people will watch it? Because a lot, I'm talking like small independent movies that, don't get put into theaters, you know?
Well, and also they can become a production company that then shops those films out to the various film festivals.
Yeah. The way it sounded is they want these movies to also be in the theater for theatrical release.
Yeah, it's the video on demand model.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. This is kind of a new thing happening. And
it's an exciting time in filmmaking. If you have the talent and you're willing to put in the time and effort, there are multiple avenues to get your vision seen.
Right.
You know, it's no longer the, you know, the Hollywood shuffle. You know, there's an element of that still, of course, but I think there's more of a chance for wider audience to see things.
What did you think about the announcement of a Woody Allen TV series on Amazon?
I've never really been a huge Woody Allen fan.
Yeah. I mean,
there's only so much Neuroses you can take. I have plenty of that in my life already.
You could have it every
I don't need more.
He could do a, kind of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm type show where it's all improvisation or something.
Right.
Is Curb Your Enthusiasm all improvised?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
He was on Howard not too long ago, and
I only heard a little bit of the interview, and I was so interested in what he had to say because I find Larry David to be fascinating.
Basically, they have, like, this is where this scene needs to go. You're a waiter. I'm the patron. Get us there.
They got an outline, and then they just start, they don't have any.
Yeah, yeah, and that's how they do it, and it's pretty cool. You know, now that I've got HBO going, I should start from the very beginning and watch that.
Yeah, God, I've got so many shows I need to watch. I want to do, Natalie and I actually did a Veronica Mars, marathon. Cause she had never seen it. She's like, what's Veronica Mars? And I was like, well, that's this, you know, UP. Oh, yikes.
Wow.
Uh-oh, what's happening, Bill?
She just yelled at me for saying she didn't know what it was. She had never seen it. Is that better? Yeah, she knew what it was, but she had never seen it.
Yeah, me too. Accurate. So let's cut the crap.
Yeah, so we started watching it, and that's a show that has a very rough pilot.
Shit. She's tracking mud in here.
Oh, no.
Damn it. Steven, will you shut the back door? We can't let her out anymore if I can't supervise her. Thank you very much, Steven. I'm sorry. I just looked down. There's freaking mud everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I had to do that with Webster today because he has those big spade paws.
Why do we even have dogs?
Got to teach them to wipe their feet when they
Is all of Veronica Mars HD on Amazon?
It is. It is all HD on Amazon Prime, and it looks really good.
And did you guys watch the V Mars movie after that?
We started it last night.
Oh, okay.
It was funny. She watched it all, and I was at doing observation hours, and she watched the rest of season 3 while I was at work. And then I came home. She's like, "I can't find season 4," and I was like, "I don't think there is a season 4." And she just looked at me with this like tears in her eyes, and she looked online and saw on Wikipedia that. That was it. That was how it ended. And she's like, how could they do that? Why would they do that? And 2.5 Men is still on the air.
Like,
how do you think we felt watching it?
I know. That's what I told her. I said, how do you think we felt with that ending? And then we had to wait how many years for them to get the movie off the ground?
Forever.
Was it 9 years? Yeah, it was 9 years.
A long effing time. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the movie just kind of like reignited the fire for it, and now Rob Thomas has written 2 Veronica Mars books already.
Yeah, we've got one of them. I think the other one came out, or it comes out any day now. And
did Heather read the first one, or did you?
No, I have it on a stack. But you know what? Also, Kristen Bell reads the audiobook, which is really
cool. Oh, shit. I want that audiobook.
Yeah, I've been
reading. Yeah, if she reads the audiobook, I'm all in.
There's nothing I can do about it, Steven. I'm just not going to worry about it. Yeah. I'll get
and
to
I,
that.
And I have an Audible membership, so that's excellent.
Yeah, that is cool. I honestly think they don't have to make a Veronica Mars series if they don't want to, but do like 3 90-minute movies a year like they do Sherlock on Netflix or something. How cool would that
be? That's genius. Why hasn't Netflix jumped on that?
I don't know.
Yeah, do the Sherlock formula.
Because I know Rob Thomas is working on iZombie, and I know Kristen Bell has that show that she does on Showtime that I've never watched.
What is that, House of Lies?
House of Lies, yeah.
I've never watched that show.
Me neither. Maybe they just, they're too busy right now, but if they did a movie like every couple of years, that would still be cool.
If Benderwack Cumberdoosh can,
what do you have against Benedict Cumberbatch?
Nothing. I like him very much. I just like to screw with his name.
Cumberdoosh?
Cumberdoosh. If he can do, you know, if he and Martin Freeman can do 3 90-minute things and a Christmas special a year,
yeah,
and still do the massive amount of movies that they do, I don't see why they couldn't swing, you know, 3 90-minute Veronica Mars, features.
Did they do a Christmas episode this Christmas?
Yeah. I think they're shooting it now.
Oh, for next
But I don't
Christmas?
Think they did one this Christmas.
Oh, okay. It didn't air over this Christmas.
No, it didn't. It's no, sorry. Next. Didn't mean to throw out any confusion there.
I missed it. I didn't get to see it.
No, oh. There's all these set leaks and it's pissing people off because they're somehow going back in time and doing the original costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that hat with the two brims or bills, whatever you call it. I don't even know what the hat's called, but like they're all running around in those old outfits. Well,
I mentioned what that was called, like a stovetop hat or some shit like that, or
button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
What is it called?
I don't know what that's called. Sherlock hat. Google it.
I thought I saw.
Stalker.
Stove.
I just typed in Sherlock hate. That's whoops.
Yeah, I keep seeing Deerstalker hat.
Sure, Deerstalker. Yeah, I guess that's what it's called, is a Deerstalker.
Yeah. Go to hell, dog. Now, guys, we have some voicemail. You guys want to get to that?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have several voicemails here. The first one is from Rick Gutierrez, and God damn it.
It sounds like you have the Salvation Army outside your door.
Ho, ho, ho.
Trying to ignore it, or?
I'm trying to ignore it, but I don't want it to hear the bells all over the voicemail.
Just, tubular bells.
Just kick her as hard as you can, or hit her.
Oh, don't say that.
You just hear Steven beating her.
You're so mean to that poor beagle.
Oh, I'm nice to her. I just talk about being mean to her. I'm not actually.
Yeah, you just verbalize your
it's
your
like
hatred.
A fantasy therapy. In my mind.
A fantasy in your mind.
A little therapy.
Right, yes. Now your wife is angry at you in the other room.
I just pet her. I pet her, but I'm just like, you bastard.
I pet her and desire squeezing her neck.
Well, she stopped doing it. All right, let's check out this voicemail. She's going to start as soon as I start this voicemail.
I'm sure she did.
You know you do the same thing to your dog, Bill, so stop being all high
Webster?
And mighty on me.
Yeah, totally do it.
All right, let's check this out. This is Rick Gutierrez.
Hey, guys, it's Rick from Fort Worth. It's been a while, and I'm sorry I sound like this. I'm getting over a cold right now. I wanted to talk to you guys about The Room. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's a directed by Tommy Wiseau. It is a classically horrible piece of crap movie. It is just so awesomely bad. I can't even
You're
be into
tearing me apart,
I even,
Lisa.
Like, to not recommend it. So yeah, it's amazing. I'm also reading at the same time the book, The Disaster Artist, which is a tell-all book
yes.
by Greg Sestero, who was Mark in The Room. I just absolutely love the movie for how bad it is, and the book is amazingly good. So, yeah, as far as anything else goes, Paddington, if you guys haven't seen it, if you haven't taken any kids to go see it, you know, preferably your own, you know, take a kid to go see this because it's fantastic. I can't recommend it enough.
It does look really
sweet. It's totally worth your time. So, and it has charm to spare, and you hear my kid in the background. So, yeah, and he loved it. Otherwise, that's pretty much it. Hope you guys are doing good, and I'm going to go recover from this cold now, and I'll talk to you soon. Okay, take care. Bye.
You should do what Andy said he did on Facebook. He ate raw garlic to help with his cold, he said. And I was like, what the hell? And I looked on Google, and that is indeed a remedy for a cold, is to eat raw garlic. But
Eat raw garlic.
I sure as hell wouldn't do it.
Why would you eat raw garlic for a cold?
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure. You know what else works really well?
Chicken soup?
Alka-Seltzer Cold Plus? Mucinex? Any number of scientific remedies? I don't know.
I would not eat raw garlic, though.
I like raw garlic with a little cream cheese.
How's this going? Oh, God, your breath is terrible. Just hold up some Glade to his mouth. All right, we have
Rick.
Another.
Hope he feels better.
Oh, yes. Rick, feel better. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's really good? Is Natalie taught me a thing where you take ginger and lemons and honey, and you just kind of boil it for a while. And it makes, like, the best, like, tea to just drink all day long. And it gives you your vitamin C and the ginger root and all that. And that's wonderful. That got me through that flu that was circulating a couple months ago.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
You know it.
Yeah.
All right, we have another voicemail. This one was from Adam Sexton. Let's check it out. It's so great to play voicemail on the show again.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Feels good.
I got to get a vacuum. I got to vacuum this up, Steven.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton sending you some voicemail. Good luck on tonight's show. I will not be able to participate in the chat room, but I'm sure you'll knock it out of the park. Just wanted to leave some feedback. Some shows that I've been watching, which have not been enough, but they have been good. The first thing is the season premiere of the new episode of Justified. First season was, you know, pretty freaking great. They are really keeping it focused on the Boyd and Raylan conflict and the subplot regarding Ava's dilemma as a mole for the U.S. Marshals is
spoiler
good,
alert.
I think. Her character has not been having a really good time between this and last season, so I'm interested to see where this will how this will transpire throughout this coming season. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Sam Elliott show up as a villain next week. And we already seen Garrett Dillahunt show up in this episode, who I think is an associate of Sam Elliott's, but I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
But anyway, I think this is going to be a great season, and I'm hoping that they really deliver on this.
That's
last
some
one.
Casting right there.
Second show I've seen is Archer. I've caught up on the last three episodes, and it's still the nutty, really crazy show that it's always been. Very well animated and really great voice cast and some of the most hilarious writing where it, you know, all the jokes and the puns really just come so fast that you need to rewatch the episode just to catch everything.
I highly recommend that.
I think all the previous seasons are on Netflix if you want to catch up on that show. Have not yet caught up with the last episode of Agent Carter, but I plan to do so as soon as I get home. You talked about Hannibal in the last episode, which was your last episode, which was awesome, by the way. I heard that, I think I read on Facebook, I don't know if you've seen this, but Richard Armitage, if I'm pronouncing that correctly,
yes,
who probably most of us know as Thorin Oakenshield in the Hobbit movies. He is supposed to be, I think in this season, he's supposed to be Francis Dolarhyde, a.k.a. the Tooth Fairy. So
that's awesome.
We're coming into Red Dragon territory, and I cannot wait to see how they're going to, you know, portray him in the season.
Manhunter territory.
Last week, I wanted to go see the movie Inherent Vice in the theater, but I didn't. I ran out of time for whatever reason. I thought that they would, the local theater would keep it on for at least another week, but they pulled it this week, just after 1 week of showing.
Jeez.
And I'm kind of bummed out about that, so I'm probably just going to have to wait for video on demand or something. But in the meantime, I'll read the book, which I got pretty cheap off of the Google Play Store. Speaking of that, the last book I've read is Silver Screen Fiend by Patton Oswalt. It's a memoir of his where it focuses on, I think it's like the last 4 years of the 90s where he had an obsessive, he had like this compulsion to go see double features at the new Beverly Theater. I think it's in Los Angeles, but and it would always be like old movies, and he would be going to see these things, not just for the sheer entertainment value, but for how they could inform him as a because he wanted to direct, he wanted to write, and he would see these movies as kind of inspiration as far as developing himself as a stand-up and as a actor and as a writer, and how this worked for him in some ways and how it backfired for him, and how it reached the obsession reached a point where his life was pretty much in shambles. Wow. And how he recovered from that. And I highly recommend that you check this out.
That sounds really good.
Other than that, I think I'm just going to have to catch up on some movies when I get home, as well as the TV stuff. I plan to rewatch Dawn of the Planet of the Apes this weekend, and I'm also going to see this movie called Lock with Tom Hardy. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I hear Tom Hardy gave one of the best performances of the year, despite the fact that he was overlooked by the Oscars. But who cares, since I think the Oscars are bullshit.
Whoa.
And other than that, I have nothing else to add. So
don't hold
these
back, Adam.
Last few runs of the Entertainment Landfill dailies have been very entertaining, and thank you for inviting me for one of them. And I'm, like I said before, I hope that the show goes off without a hitch, and y'all have a nice weekend. And other than that, I will speak to you later. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Adam. Yeah. You know, the Oscars are bullshit. You know, someone or something I really like gets nominated, then I root for it. And that's about as much as I get into it. I like to, you know, I watch the ceremony, and sometimes when some actor you like wins and you get to see their acceptance speech, like, I don't know if, did you guys get to see Michael Keaton win the award for the Golden Globes?
Oh, that was huge. Yeah.
That was awesome. Just to see stuff like that is pretty cool. And that Patton Oswalt book sounds fantastic. I'm going to check
it out. Yeah, he's a huge film geek. I love that. I still have Richard Iowade's book to read, Iowade on Iowade.
I've always wondered how the hell you say this name. Like,
yep.
Ayodi.
Ayowade.
It starts to sound like Garfield. Ayodi.
Ayodi.
You know, this mud down here is driving me crazy. I got to vacuum it up, Steven. I'm sorry. We're just going to stop the show for a second. Sorry, guys. Okay.
I'm trying to pet her to keep her calm she doesn't...
I missed some over there.
There you go.
She like, actually did.
There you go.
I just got my feet together.
See,
Steven's a method podcast.
Yes. I love that. Steven, lift your feet. Okay, we have another voicemail. Yeah, we have another voicemail. From Darren. We haven't heard from Darren for a while. Darren. Let's see how he's doing, guys. Let's check it out.
So, I've had a couple of beers and catch up with a friend. And I get home. I think, watch for watch. Now, I've been bored with what's on TV. So, I thought, what can I do? Okay, Netflix. I know, why not try getting Netflix? I got Chromecast for Christmas. So, right, get Netflix. Got that on. Browsing through, like, some of the latest stuff that's on there, like House of Cards, recommendation, some latest films. Flick through different film genres, and I see it. The Core. Wow. Okay. I've always had this soft spot for it, but I've never watched it all the way through.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I know the effects are shit. Particularly when, was it Rome or whatever, just blows up. It looks dreadful.
That is what it is, right?
But the comedy, but it's a thing when you have in that vessel, you got Hilary Swank, Delroy Lindo, Stanley Tucci, and, Harvey Dent. And it's like, wow, okay, I love it. So I thought, stop playing it. And lo and behold, you've got Bruce Greenwood as well. It's like, wow. The most amazing cast in the B-movie ever. So, that's... Yeah. Friday night. I don't think... Because I have not listened to the most recent ETL, I cannot send a voicemail. So it's been a long while since the last one.
Because true,
I always lagged that one behind. But I'm just going to send one now. P.S. I'm Darren from Birmingham.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, I enjoy... Yeah, well, I mean, it's great. Listen to your, you know, solo all together, guest-wise. Bring it on. I mean, often when I listen to it, I think, oh, nothing, you know, it's good. And listen, you know, I think, no, disagree with that. But, you're right there. I think, you know, often laugh along too. Just the specific instances have now faded from my memory. I blame beer. So I was like, what can talk about? I can say what I've seen recently, maybe, and I'm just frozen in the ether. Birdman was the last film I saw at cinema. Nice. It was good. Interesting. It actually packs in a lot, maybe almost too much. And some of the characters are quite schizophrenic Edward Norton does a funny turn and then does really extremely creepy. And when he says, I'm being natural, I don't believe it. It's like, it's a bit flippy floppy. Apart from that, I'm really lagging on decent TV, mainly because it's becoming extremely difficult to get a hold of good TV by my normal method. So, hence the consideration of things services like Netflix, and then again, if you get Netflix, some American things like Blacklist, True Detective, and things like that appear on a Sky channel over here. So you can't get them via Netflix. It's via a different method, which means a more outlay perhaps. So, but I just wanted to prod, say, because listen to you in the past, I got turned on to some programs before, like Spartacus, like Fringe. So,
nice. Is
the one that you could say, right, you could focus on, get this one as a genuine good program to enjoy. So, I hope you have a good show, and until laters, I'm getting my drink on. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Darren. I've talked about it incessantly, but The Wire, of course. It's one of those shows for years I keep hearing about it.
And we just talked about Hannibal.
Right.
He's getting that.
The Wire, though, will break your heart multiple times. And it did me. I actually took some time off, not many days, like 3 days or four, because it did break my heart for a bit, and then you have to go back. It kind of reminded me of when Varro Spartacus? Yeah. Remember after that happened? I'm not going to spoil anything. In fact, Spartacus, the entire run, the whole collection is going to be on Netflix in February. And so anybody who hasn't watched it, start watching Spartacus, because I still need to watch the final season too, but it would be great to go and just start rewatch all of it, I think. But there are moments in shows where your heart is broken and you don't know how to go on, but you keep doing it. And, that's signs of a good show, I think.
Yeah.
But, thank you very much, Darren, for that voicemail. And
The Wire is what you're recommending for him.
Yes, or I keep saying Marco Polo. It's a really good show. Just watch it. Tell me if you like it. It's got cool kung fu shit in it, man. There's this blind dude named Hundred Eyes that is so badass. You guys just got to see this guy.
I'm like, sold.
How does he do it? He's blind, but he just does, you know? All right, we have one final voicemail, guys. This one is from Adam from the Bay Area. Yay. Let's check it out.
What's up, Entertainment Landfill boys? It's Adam from the Bay Area. Friday night, minutes before the recording commences of the show. And I just wanted to say that I've been enjoying all of the ETL dailies and all of the little special bonus shows. And I'm looking forward to tonight's show. And Jason's voicemail on last week's show was hilarious. I love that doing the ding, 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 ding. Thing. That was awesome. And Bill, major life change, bro. Natalie moved over to Ohio, and that is crazy awesome. And I hope all goes well there. And PCZ Steven, I hope he's able to attend the show. I really like the shows with Jason and Bill alone, but also with Jason and Steven alone as well. So, and props to Adam Sexton for the second time he's been on. That was cool. It's just, it's good. I like the mixture of it. And I like that even though it's not a normal, everyday show, that's not what I mean to say. I just mean to say that even though it's not the standard Nowhere in Missouri Entertainment Landfill format.
Too late.
It's still great to hear content and hear thoughts about things. And with all this stuff going on out in the blogosphere, it's like it just helps me to catch up on all that while I'm working. So I wanted to say that. Me and Lawrence and Charlie are on our way to go get some Pokemon cards at Toys R Us.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we are. I love Pokemon.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that and say have a great show tonight. And I can't wait to listen to it. See you later.
Oh, thanks, guys. That was awesome. You know, Emma got this cool Pikachu piggy bank for Christmas that's on the counter. Mm-hmm. It's
Pika,
awesome.
Pika.
I was like, I had an affinity for Squirtle. Squirtle. Yeah, I like Squirtle. He was pretty awesome. Now, thanks all you guys for your voicemails. That's so cool to hear from the audience. It's awesome. And, Bill, what do you say we take a short break and then we come back and we do some DVDs of the week?
Yeah, sure.
Or anything you want to do, seriously.
All right.
If you want to sing a song, you can.
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen, but
maybe tap dance.
I can do that because I'm also a method podcaster. You wouldn't even know I was actually tap dancing.
Now, Bill, I just need to vacuum by your feet. Could you lift them, please?
Yeah, please.
Left foot.
Oh, I actually do have my feet up, so.
You get under your keyboard there. You know, all that dust gets there around the keyboard. It's good to get that up.
It does. You know, you don't want that coming into the computer and clogging up the works.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. So, let's see. I'm going to pick a break here from the past. Just pick a random one, and I think I got one good. So, guys, we'll be right back.
Cool days always remind me of my mother's cinnamon bread. Maybe that's why I like the creamy cinnamon taste of Cafe Vienna so much. Or maybe I like it just because I like it. General Foods International Coffees.
I want a little more pizzazz.
Little pizzazz, sheer hair color wash.
Cheaper of shiny colors.
I can get a little or a lot.
Little pizzazz, sheer color wash.
I get gentle color and sheer shine.
Sheer sensation, that's all mine.
Claro pizzazz, sheer color wash.
I get rich, shiny color.
Now I can choose, wash it out and pour shampoo.
New pizzazz, sheer color wash from Claro. Choose a little or a lot of color.
Who couldn't use a little more pizzazz?
Crispy Critters, it's the low-sugar cereal for kids.
If it's low in sugar, how come it has those cute animals?
That's child psychology, but moms love it for the low sugar.
So Crispy Critters is good for our kids.
You better bleed.
Tonight, Al and Peg take sides.
Oh, look, Al, they're gonna fight.
In a war of the sexes. Can Al help Steve survive Marcy's love strike?
Think of Marcy. Oh. And take a look at...
My mother!
Tonight.
Chicken and herb sauce. Want to know how to make it? Just take your chicken. Add custom cuisine. Crisp bird's eye vegetables smothered in delectable sauces. It adds up to a terrific meal. Bird's eye custom cuisine.
It better be bits. It better be bits.
Oh, yeah, it's Spike. It's bits, I tell you. It's bits.
It better be bits.
Oh, it's bits, I tell you. Oh, boy. It's bits.
It better be kibbles and bits and bits and bits, because dogs love crunchy kibbles with chewy bits. All kinds of bits. For a one-of-a-kind taste dogs just gotta have.
It better be bits.
Kibbles and bits and bits and bits.
What I tell you, Spike? See? It's bits. Oh, boy, it's bits.
It's the bits that make it better.
I was asleep on the sofa when I heard, Dad, why doesn't the Jell-O gelatin fall out when it's upside down? And then I felt something cool plop on my face, and I heard, sorry, Dad. Jell-O gelatin. You can't be a kid without it.
Tonight, you have a choice. You can watch one movie of the week, or three comedies of the year. first. It's Gary Shandling's show. People Magazine gives it an A+ and calls it the best show of the new season. Then it's Duet. If you're tired of movie after movie on the networks, Duet is for you. And Tracy Ullman, one of People Magazine's top five series of the year. Tonight, it's three comedies of the year on Fox.
Carrie is so very...
different. It's concentrated for rough, dry skin.
Silky smooth Carrie is so very...
special. Glides on smooth and absorbs quickly. Softens my skin every day.
Original or silky smooth formula Carrie is so very...
I love dinner parties.
You love dinner. Should Country Crock go here?
That rich, buttery Country Crock taste goes anywhere.
Or should it go with the green beans?
Great taste, fewer calories. For having green beans?
You love green beans.
Must have been your first husband.
You are my first husband.
Oh, yeah.
Shed Spread Country Crock. Rich, buttery taste. Fewer calories than regular margarine and no cholesterol.
They're here.
I'll get the door.
I'll get the Country Crock.
On second thought, you get the door.
Okay.
Will you stop it?
Beware, America.
Based on the original hit Double Dare, it's Primetime's all-new Family Double Dare, where kids put their parents through the ultimate physical challenge.
Is that disgusting or what?
It's slippery. It's slimy. It's messy. It's the all-new Family Double Dare. Premieres Saturday, April 9th.
Over the years, many cars have rolled across the drawing board of cartoonist Carl Urbano. Still, Mr. Urbano's favorite car is a Honda. He and his family own 10 Hondas in all. So you might say, Honda has helped draw the family together.
What's wrong, Sally?
Darn dishwashers, Pop Marge! They're driving Bud away!
Cliff and I have the same problem. You need sunlight. It rinses clean, so it leaves everything this spotless, even in sunlight.
Next day,
Sally, your glasses are beautiful. I'll never stray again.
All right, this stuff.
Sunlight, powder or liquid, nothing gets glasses more spotless.
So, we asked some of today's leading wine experts to give their opinion on a whole new taste in wine. Lancer's Blush Wine.
Superb color.
Oh, splendid clarity.
Excellent nose.
Lancer's Blush Wine.
Oh, excuse me.
What?
This wine is fruity, light,
fruity.
Crisp,
light.
Pretty.
Ah, pretty.
Pretty.
At last I have found my wine. It's good.
Just good? Lancer's Blush?
Okay, superb.
Ah,
superb. Yes.
Many people need to cut down on salt for better health.
Instead of salt, use great-tasting Mrs. Dash with 14 natural herbs and spices. Use Mrs. Dash on every dish for zesty, savory flavor. For better health, instead of salt, try Mrs. Dash.
I was in agony. I hurt all over. The doctor said there was no permanent damage. He gave me a different medicine. It's in these little yellow Nuprin. Got rid of that pain. Know what else? It works great on my tough headaches.
Nuprin. It's not aspirin, not Tylenol. It's ibuprofen.
Two Nuprin stop my headaches better than extra strength Tylenol. And Nuprin's gentler on my stomach than aspirin.
Nuprin. Little, yellow, different, better.
It even worked on my worst pain.
The dentist said no apples, honey.
The forbidden fruit, tinsel teeth.
James?
I knew what Annie needed.
Flaky.
A homemade apple pie. With Crisco's flaky crust, I'd help her forget her braces. Annie, I've got some apples for you.
Thanks, Mom.
Sir, Wendy's is offering their delicious quarter-pound single for 99 cents. What do you think?
Sounds like an obvious attempt to get people to come to Wendy's and buy this hamburger.
That's the idea.
Well, it's a darn good one.
Now Wendy's single is 99 cents. Additional purchase may be required.
Surprise. Here's the tickets for your honeymoon.
Oh, Dad, you shouldn't have.
And we're going with you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Northwest frequent flyers earn free trips fast, so you can give them away or go away or both.
Rice and wheat, Jack's the classic.
bottles, let the milk burst through, and the crunchy taste stay in.
Jack the glass is drunk.
Here's something new and juicy. Here's something a whole lot of fun. New lifesavers, fruit juices, candy. Real juice in everyone.
That's cool.
With the juice in fruit juices, candy.
Strawberry.
You tinted grow on a tree.
Citrus fruit.
Here's something new and juicy.
Fruit punch.
Here's something a whole lot of fun. New lifesavers, fruit juices, candy.
Mixed berries.
Real juice means a whole lot.
For the most challenging Nintendo system ever.
Ready? Let's do it.
The new Power Pad. It's only available in Nintendo's new power set. Now you're playing with body power. You've got to run, jump, faster, higher. The Nintendo Power Pad puts you in total control. You are the game. You are the power. Now you're playing with power, body power. You get the Power Pad, Control Deck, Zapper, and three games only in Nintendo's exciting new power set.
The game Monopoly is back at McDonald's, bigger and better than ever.
This year, there's more prizes than ever.
XLT!
Coca-Cola!
Congratulations!
Hey, collect the right game pieces
and win $2 million! Woo-hoo! There's over $50 million in prizes, including hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations, a Delta Airlines! Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
It's not just big, it's huge!
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You just said the magic words. Now look what you did. And look at the low prices everyone's talking about at Toys R Us. My friend Talking Toby from Coleco plays 8 learning games and comes with a game board voice and a great Toys R Us price. And Coleco's talking teacher with 5 word and number game levels.
That is correct.
Awesome. And my talking computer, a whole fun center for less at Toys R Us.
It's the world's biggest Toys R Us show!
Wake up to the hot taste of Kellogg's Pop-Tarts.
So hot, they're cool, so cool, they're hot. Pop-Tarts bobbing up, they bob up high. But they so cool inside, they're hot. There's the real fruit, so hot, hot, hot.
Real fruit fillings give Pop-Tarts an incredible taste. So hot, they're cool.
A taste so cool, so cool.
Yes. All right, everyone, we're back. Hello, Bill. Are you back, sir?
Yes, I am.
All right. I was talking with you if you want to do DVDs or news, but you have a couple of news stories, right?
Yeah, why not?
And just for shits and giggles, I haven't played it in so long, Bill. The news theme. What do you say?
Yes.
I haven't played it in a long time, but here we go. The news. Yes, the news!
The news with Mulberry Bill.
All right.
Oh, TRS-80.
Hey, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Sad news. Melvin Gordon, the boss for Tootsie Roll, has died at the age of 95.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Did he create the Tootsie Roll, or he's... I guess it's been around too long for that guy.
Yeah, let me see. It's, he... How long has he, for 5 decades, he has been the chairman of Tootsie Roll. That's a lot of Tootsie Rolls. What surprised me the most about this story is that Tootsie Roll is worth $1.9 billion.
The more you eat, the more you toot.
Yeah, that's right.
I love Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, really, you know, do. What? I've never not loved a Tootsie Roll.
Heather and Emma both think they are disgusting.
You know what I loved the most is some Halloweens you would get the fruit Tootsie Rolls. And I thought those were incredible. You get like the lime and the lemon and...
You know, I have to admit, I've never eaten those. I've just eaten the regular kind.
Yeah, I love the
ones that are real big.
Yeah, I have the cigar size and I'm like, I love it when a plant comes together.
Really have a sweet tooth.
A sweet tooth. Yeah, and they also make Charleston chews, which those still exist.
Wow. I remember what you do is you stick those in the freezer, and then when they're frozen, you get them out and you smash them into pieces. And that's what
I've never done that.
Yeah, they're good. Frozen. You get
Junior Mints, Sugar Babies, and Dots.
Oh my god, Sugar Babies. Those are good, but those will like immediately just put you in a coma.
Yeah, those are the like the little caramel like chocolate covered.
Yeah, they look like pork and beans, but they're just loaded. It's pure sugar, you know.
Oh god, that's still to this day, even post surgery, candy is my my weakness. Like maybe I didn't get enough of it as a kid. I don't know.
Did they make slow pokes? You said
no, not slow pokes.
Popcorn, candy, soda.
Like the slow pokes, you would just like.
I used to love.
They would last forever, and then you drop it on the carpet and go, "Oh man, it's got hair all over
it." Wash it off.
What the hell? I don't know if I've ever had a slow poke. I need to look it up.
It's basically like
it's a caramel on a stick.
Yeah, on a stick, and it takes forever to eat it. It lasts.
Oh, okay. So a slow poke was like a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Because a sugar daddy was the thing on the stick.
Right.
Okay, that's amazing.
You took too long. Now your candy's gone. That's what happened. Bugow!
Bugow! Yeah, so that dude died at 95, and now his wife is...
ripe old age there.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I wonder if he... I bet you it was the candy. The candy's what made him live so long, so...
It is.
I need more candy.
He's a slowpoke. It took you long enough to die, slowpoke.
Yeah, I bet you somebody's going, yeah, all right. Now I guess they own 50% of the $1.9 billion firm. So
inheriting a candy empire?
That is seriously a candy empire. That's impressive. All right. Here's some hillbilly news out of Mason City, Iowa.
Authorities
said a man charged with being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm was sentenced Wednesday. Bill Douglas Thorne of 58 of Mason City received a prison sentence of 21 years in federal prison. He was convicted by a jury on the charge in April. Federal authorities said Thorne traded his dog for a .22 caliber rifle that he intended to use to shoot his son on July 24th, 2012.
Hillbilly, rednecky.
Yeah,
that's a damn good trade there, Bill.
He's going to shoot his son with a .22 caliber rifle?
It's put together wrong, bro.
Wow.
Thorne had others hide the gun in Mason City Park, authorities said, but it was turned over to police when he was arrested on harassment charges. So that was not the best trade.
About Rachel, you.
I think he could have made a better trade on that one. Here in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, they have finally caught the Braveheart Bandit. Why was he called the Braveheart Bandit?
Yeah.
Because he had the blue tattoo going down, the right side of his face across his eye.
Boy, we're showing him how brave we are.
Wow.
Yes, the Braveheart Bandit, the Braveheart Bandit, specialized in, homeware, house goods theft. He would go into, the Andersons, which is a, kind of a mix of, if you can wrap your mind around this, Home Depot and a grocery store. It's the most bizarre store ever, but it is pretty smart.
What is it called again?
The Andersons.
So you can get, like, toilet supplies while getting food.
Yeah, absolutely. You can get toilet supplies, and you know what? Why not visit and pick up a couple apples?
And, you know, I need an axe, too.
Yeah, you might need an axe to chop down the apple tree. I don't know.
There's another place like that
fire
out there, too.
Fire ant killer or something like that?
There's a place called Menards.
Menards, yeah.
But it's not nearly as... Yeah, it's the strangest. Every time I go in there, they have a place called the Uncommon Market, and you can get, you know, like, international foods there. So why not pick up, you know, what do they call it? It's this round pastry that comes out at Christmas, and I think it's either German or Polish. I'm not sure. But you can go pick one of those up, and then, you know, go over and get a new toilet bowl plunger.
Nice.
Or or you know what? Maybe you're thinking about building that that new addition onto your house. Why not pick up some lumber?
Watch it, hardware.
Yeah, it's a really interesting store. But he stole. Let's see here.
Lifting drinks.
No, he didn't steal fizzy lifting drinks. He stole a Dyson's vacuum cleaner from Anderson's. And he stole $322 worth of merchandise from Home Depot and $849 worth of Dyson vacuums from Target.
You get nothing. You lose.
And I guess because Dysons are such a high value item, they are resold, you know, kind of the white van pulling up next to you in a parking lot and say, hey man, we got some cheap Dysons.
Man, we got some speakers up in here, man.
We didn't offload a couple of these.
We just did a job, man. We got these left over.
Yeah, right.
Dude, I have like $10 in my wallet.
we overbought these vacuum cleaners for our new maid service.
Yeah, man, we got these left over. It's like, oh.
Pay no attention to the Braveheart tattoo across my eye.
Man, you got a dog tracking mud in your house? You could really use these puppies, you know? It is handy to have a vacuum.
Yeah, this is really strange. The police and city prosecutor add that thieves are also targeting baby formula, Tide detergent, Red Bull, and meat.
Wow.
I think whenever people start stealing and reselling baby formula, Tide, Red Bull, and meat, we need to start looking at our society as a whole. This is really strange.
We got meat over here.
A white van pulls up next to you. We just butchered a cow. We got too much meat. Never mind that tag on there that says Kroger's.
I was just about to wrap my lips around a juicy, hot piece of meat.
This is so strange. Alright, next, only in Canada, another thief.
The bacony stink of Canada.
Yes, the bacony stink of Canada. Gatineau cops are chasing a pair of bandits on a breakaway with a slew of hockey sticks. Take off, eh? Two men broke into Mark's Sports Source for sports. Jesus, that's a really long name for a sports store. Mark Sports. It's a tongue twister. Mark Sports Source for sports. Say that five times fast. and they stole $28,000 worth of adult hockey sticks.
He's lying. Check the machine, eh?
Police believe the thieves will likely try to resell the sticks. No, they just they're starting a hockey team. That's what I would have said.
Several hockey teams.
Several. There's several.
Back big sandwiches while he's waiting.
How much is a hockey stick?
I don't know.
Each stick sells around $300. $300 for a piece of wood?
Holy shit! And those things break easily too, don't they?
Wow, that's shocking. So they stole 100 sticks. How did they even get away with 100 sticks? Well, they didn't get away. Maybe they kind of were a little too eager in stealing 100 sticks. Maybe would have taken, I don't know.
20.
Yeah, 20. You know, five an arm and then ran. 100 sticks, that's pretty bold.
You oversaw the whole process.
Yeah, around 11:40 p.m. on January 7, there was a failed attempt to break in. The vehicle used was a white cargo van.
Hey, man, and we got some hockey sticks over here. We got them left over, eh?
Even the white cargo van was stolen from in Ottawa the day before. So they're like, you know what, we're going to steal some shit. We need a white van. Let's steal one.
Oh, you farted.
Okay.
Oh, the great white north. And finally, in York County, South Carolina, a woman accused of leaving her 8-month-old baby alone in the parking lot of a Carolina-based amusement park says God and aliens told her she needed to see the park.
Okay.
Frances Green and her boyfriend, Jason Lee. Jeez, I had no idea.
Hey, it's Brody from Mallrats.
Brody from Mallrats, yeah. Reportedly left the infant inside a truck in the Carowinds parking lot Friday night around 8 p.m. So they're going at 8 p.m. in the middle of winter. I guess they just needed to see the park.
Just go back to your podium until it's time to play the feud, all right?
Security at Carowinds found the vehicle abandoned in the drop-off area of the parking lot and found an 8-month-old baby inside the vehicle alone and crying.
Wow.
Lee told investigators that Green wanted to see the park, so he came with her to see it. They reportedly initially took the little boy inside, brought him back to the truck. I guess there was nothing they could ride with the boy. Green told investigators she heard voices from God telling her to go to the park.
Duh.
The voices that she thought were God were actually extraterrestrials, and they wanted her to leave her body behind and come with them. Green said that she decided against that because she wanted to stay with her family. Well, that was nice of her.
And actually, it was a commercial.
Oh, my God. That's
You're watching this shit, man? It's fucked up.
Thank you, Jay. Jay knows what's going down. She was charged with unlawful neglect of a child, filing a police report, and just being generally insane.
Yeah, sounds a little insane.
That's all the news that's fit to print this week.
Crazy bitch.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much for doing the news this week. It's
You're
been
welcome.
Awesome to have some news again, huh?
Yeah, where were we without that special brand of news?
Oh, Bill, I wanted to just throw in this little entertainment story that I forgot about, that Simon Pegg is writing the Star Trek 3 script.
Yeah, how's that? That's amazing.
With some other dude. So that'll be
pretty
cool.
Yeah, some other dude that isn't Edgar Wright. So.
Yeah, how cool would it be if it was Jessica Hines?
Stevenson.
Yeah, I can never remember what her maiden name and married name is. What is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to look it up.
Jessica Stevenson or Jessica Hines or...
Jessica Hines Stevenson, Stevenson Hines.
I'm really into Star Trek.
Yes, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what comes of it. I know they dropped... who was it? Was it Robert Orci? Orci?
Roberto Orci.
Orci, yeah. And I guess maybe it was too much for him. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't confident enough to...
He had some more time travel shit in there. They're like, dude, come on.
Yeah, can we please drop the red matter?
What's up with the shit, you know? Can they just go into deep space and fight some Klingons or something?
Klingons, those the dudes with the little antennae.
So Justin Lin is directing it. Simon Pegg is co-writing the script. It could be fun. I think
is Justin Lin the Fast and Furious guy?
Yeah. The
nice.
Fast and Furious guy. I was happy about it, but I can understand why Trekkies were not. Is it Trekkers or Trekkies?
Trekkies.
Because they want more kind of a... not less actiony Star Trek.
They want boring, is what they want.
I'm curious about it. I think it'll be cool.
What I thought was funny was whenever people were saying Jonathan Frakes should direct it, I was like, how about not?
It would definitely go a different direction over.
It would
like,
be awful.
With J.J. Abrams. He did direct some of the movies, didn't he? Did he do Generations
I think
First Contact?
I can't remember which one he did.
Right.
Which one of the boring Star Trek films did Jonathan Frakes
oh, Bill.
They were just so bland.
Engage. What do you say we do some DVDs, Bill?
What was he? He was number two, right?
Number one.
Number one. Oh. Wolf, I say you're a coward.
Number two.
You want to do some DVDs, Bill?
Yeah, let's do them.
Steven? You haven't done this song in a long time. You think you still got the chops?
He needs to warm up.
Me. Do you have a harmonica? Me. All right, let's do some DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Woohoo! The DVDs, everybody!
You were any other man, I would kill you where you stand.
Oh my god. Well, good thing we're who we are, right?
We are who we are.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
All right, Blu-ray and DVD for January 27th, 2015.
Nice.
Starting off with a film I have no knowledge of called Before I Go to Sleep with Colin Firth and that lady that was married to Tom Cruise at one point, Nicole Kidman. There we go.
Oh, sounds good.
I think they're already – that's the prequel.
After I fall asleep.
No, yeah.
Oh, it's before
no, it's before I wake up.
Oh, so it's like brushing teeth, kind of spitting in the sink and
yeah,
maybe like putting the slippers by the side of the bed.
Yeah, this is about the preparation of going to sleep.
Fluffing up the pillow.
Making sure the bed's made.
Your CPAP machine.
Make sure the
CPAP machine. Yeah, I got to get the CPAP machine.
Make sure the closet door light is on. You know, not.
Yeah, because you don't want any monsters.
Yeah, no Randall for Monsters, Inc. in there.
Randall, what a bastard. He was such a good guy. And then he just went bad.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to people.
It happens, especially in college, Monsters University.
Yeah, that's that. You know what? You can either become a hero or become a zero at Monsters University.
That's right.
All right. Next, we have the Guillermo del Toro film.
A monster.
Or actually, it's produced by him. The Book of Life.
Guillermo del Toro. No, wait, yeah. I don't think I have that right, do I?
Yeah, that's some. It's yeah. Guillermo del Toro.
Italian.
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro. Oh, I am Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Oh my god, I forgot about Slowpoke. I love that guy.
He was my favorite blatantly racist character from those cartoons. I mean, Speedy Gonzales was great, but I was all about Slowpoke.
You will be good with the chili peppers!
Yes!
That was the other guy. That wasn't Slowpoke, was it?
That was his friend, wasn't it?
Yeah. Slowpoke talked real slow as well.
Yeah, Slowpoke sounded like he was on Downers.
He pack a gun.
Yeah. There he is!
Pack
a gun.
Guillermo del Toro, he's going to direct a new movie.
Ay, ay, ay. Book of Life 3D.
He's for me.
I thought it looked gorgeous. I've wanted to see it. I'll look forward to giving it a rent.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now he calls me.
Downton Abbey season 5 on Blu-ray. So if
Downtown Abbey,
big fan of the Downtown Arby's, you can pick it up.
I have never watched that show.
I have. I watched 4 seasons of it. I bailed on the 5th because I just lost interest.
Oh, okay. There's only so much
melodrama that you can do, and it just got to be too much.
Oh. So I was going to say, should I watch it? But no.
No. No.
I'm good.
In this week's way too many exclusive releases for certain retailers, we have Fury.
Oh, the tank movie.
Yes, the tank movie.
Steven saw that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, so we've got Fury in the standard Blu-ray Ultraviolet collection. Then we have Fury in the Target exclusive Steelbook. Then we have Fury
tomorrow. Pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot.
Yeah,
buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Yeah. Maybe the Andersons. He should really just go to the Andersons and you get everything there. Best Buy has the exclusive bonus disc. What's on that disc? I have no idea.
Tank Tread.
Tank Tread, yes. But yeah, that's there now.
Let me ask
you. Sherman tank.
Is there good tank action in the movie?
Yeah, I've heard there's excellent tank action.
Is there ricocheting bullets inside the tank?
I would hope so.
It kind of, well, I don't want to spoil anything. If you're going to watch it.
Is there a Nazis getting killed?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Love killing Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Get to kill Nazis.
All right. Next we have...
killing Nazis.
Wait, what? none of us have ever killed Nazis.
We can't send me, man. I'll kill you, man.
was that the True Romance character in Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah, Floyd.
Kenneth Branagh's Henry V.
Oh.
Yeah, we get some culture up in this shit. Yeah, so there's that. Next we have the Into the Woods original Broadway production.
To kiss your mother with that mouth.
So this is, if you have an interest in Into the Woods, you should always check out the original Sondheim production with, Bernadette Peters and various other
people. What's a famous song from Into the Woods that we would know?
I don't think anybody really, is there a famous song from Into the Woods that people would know?
Got nothing,
no.
Huh?
Nothing. There's nothing there. But, you know, if there's an interest, you should check it out.
What about the movie? Do you want to see that?
Yeah, I do want to see the movie.
Emma saw it, and she said it was magical.
Mm.
She liked it.
Yeah, I know my sister and my niece saw it, and they loved it.
Oh, what did you think of Gallivant.
You know what? It has its moments. At times, we were like, wow, this is really stupid. And then there were times where we were laughing really hard.
I love the king. He's just so ridiculous.
Gallivant. Yeah, I don't think Natalie was a big fan of Gallivant, but the joust
really
was quite possibly one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
I love John Stamos throwing up through his armor.
Just yeah, like, that just him being totally whacked out, and the other one not being able to move because he's sore, and just the slow. That was smart.
I think it's a fun show. I love that. The lyrics to the songs and stuff. They really
I'm going to give
playful.
It. I'll probably watch the next episode just to see what happens. You know, just to see where if it gets its feet.
Oh, yeah. It definitely does.
All right. Next, we have I wouldn't call it a classic anime, but it's one that I remember from the late 90s called Jinro the Wolf Brigade. And that'll be on Blu-ray.
What is that?
It's set in this alternative history, Japan. This guy's part of this military police force, and he turns in. It's very strange, psychological. It's typical for anime. You know, it's heady and it's violent, especially that period of the 90s. That was, you know, the violent anime were always the best. And next we have The Judge on Blu-ray, the, Robert Downey Jr. film that he was really out there promoting on everything.
Yeah, he produced the movie. I think he made it happen. So.
Yeah, and he was really proud of it. And then I read the Drew McQueenie review and I was like, ouch.
Yeah,
oh, that's not good.
He said it was a manipulative kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, what, sometimes there's a place for those. I mean, yes, some I'll get angry at movies that are just overtly saccharine and manipulative, but
yeah.
I can also appreciate, you know, a film that is well, you know, well crafted and it has good performances. I mean, there's plenty of you know, manipulative films that I
and
like.
Robert Downey Jr. is fun to watch. Maybe even in a movie that's kind of sentimental hokum, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a little sentimental hokum once in a while.
By the way, that anime that you mentioned before this?
Yes.
Is it anything like Space Thunder Kids?
No.
It is the ultimate battle between good and evil, freedom and oppression.
Yeah, I remember Space Thunder Kids, Steven?
Space Thunder Kids!
I don't remember that at all.
Space Precinct.
Space Precinct.
But the judge, and it's, I'll check it out. I mean,
speaking of anime, it's not anime, but it was based on one or something like that. It was the Battleship Yamato, the film, the live action film version. I saw in Best Buy this week when I was just walking around looking. And I think it was like one of the $4.99 ones, but it's out there if you want to see it. I still think it's one of it's hilariously awful, but it's just great to see a live action version of it.
Oh, definitely. Do you? I just think I get into like the song, the Star Blazer song. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have no idea the foreign version or you know the Japanese version. But I love the song, the theme, and everything. Let's go ahead and check it out real quick, Bill. We gotta hear this. It's just so awesome. Listen to this, man. It's awesome. Just wait for the singing to start. This shit is awesome, yo.
We're all to outer space, we're leaving Mother Earth to save the human race. Our Star Blazer,
how awesome is that, huh?
Searching for a distant star, heading off to Iskandar, leaving all we love behind. Who knows what dangers we'll find? We must be strong and brave. Our home we have to save. If we don't, in just one year, Mother Earth will disappear.
Okay, maybe I finished tonight.
Fighting with the Gamelons, we won't stop until we've won. Then we'll
Jesus, how long is this thing?
Tell the we'll whole story.
Our Star Blazers.
Verse 2.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I think we were on verse 15 there.
Because, you know, that they got that from Japan, and they were like, we got to put lyrics to this music, you know? And I wonder if they came up with their own lyrics by watching it, or they did just a translation. I don't know.
I have a feeling that they just made it up. I don't think the actual, you know, Star Blazers followed anything that had to do with Yamato.
The Gamelons, Iskandar.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they just sat in a room and they're like, let's make shit up. All right.
And they came
it's kind of like what happened with Macross, and they turned it into Robotech.
Oh, yeah. You know what was funny is that I remember where it was. Adam Sexton, his podcast, The Past and the Pending, he put out a new episode and I checked it out. And it's actually really funny if you guys listen to it. He's basically talking about his old favorite movies from when he was a kid and then ties it into childhood stories of when he first saw it. And, he played some music at the very end. It was kind of like an 8-bit version of a song. And I was like, oh, I know what that is. That's Robotech, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, no, that's the end credit music to Legend of Zelda.
Oh, like, damn. Oh.
But then I started like listening to it and I go, they sound really similar. Check this out, Bill. Like, remember this music? This is Robotech.
And I hear it already.
Our
Okay, that's pretty awesome. And then now let's check out the Legend of Zelda end credits. You get the idea, right, Bill?
Yeah, I do get the idea. It was an excellent point.
Oh, thank you.
Next, we have Open Windows with Elijah Wood and Sasha Gray.
Oh, what? Oh,
yeah. Wow.
What is that movie about?
It's a film by Nacho Vigalondo.
God, the dude's name is Nacho? That's awesome.
I know. Now I'm hungry.
Do they fly out the window, or?
No, I, what's, it's Nick is excited to discover he's won a dinner date with his favorite actress, Jill.
Give me the number for Michael Hunsaker.
What?
But when Jill, what in the hell?
I don't know.
But when Jill, oh, are you trying to say that she was thrown out the open window?
She dove out the window.
And it's kind of appropriate because, you know, Sasha Gray is a porn star who's now also an actor, apparently.
She's legit now, right?
Yeah. But when Jill refuses to honor the contest, her manager makes an offer he can't refuse, the ability to view Jill secretly via computer. Nick begins watching the unknown star on her webcam, not realizing that his decision will put both himself and Jill at risk as they enter a terrifying world of cat and mouse where nothing and no one are as they seem.
Bill, does this computer sound like this?
It does.
That would be awesome.
This looks awful.
Nice.
But Badass Digest says it's the celebrity stalking movie we deserve.
Oh, we deserve this, you guys.
Yeah, we haven't been asking for it, and yet we deserve it. Maybe that's saying something terrible.
Rightfully so.
You deserve this shit. You
you deserve this, you miserable human being.
You filthy beast.
You did not deserve to live.
Yeah, so Open Windows. And finally, the 20th anniversary edition of The Usual Suspects on Blu-ray.
Nice.
Yeah. So this was 1995 that was released. Wow, 20 years.
Man, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. With a lot of really wonderful performances. And I'll never forget seeing it and being like, oh my God. Oh, look, he stopped limping. Oh my gosh, he made the whole story up.
I love the whole Kaiser Soze thing.
Yeah, that was, it was such a wonderful reveal. And again, Kevin Spacey, amazing, just like he's pretty much amazing in everything.
Mm-hmm. And
I can't wait for, House of Cards coming up here.
House of Cards season 3, Bill, coming up in February.
And, I even caught myself standing in Best Buy watching the, video from Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Cause he's chewing up the scenery in that one too, even with his digital dead eyes.
His lifeless eyes.
Yeah, it's really, really disturbing to watch those cutscenes. They haven't got to the point where they can actually do a cutscene that looks good in a Call of Duty game.
Xbox on?
No, it didn't turn on. Okay.
Nope, it didn't. Mine didn't turn on either. All right, and that's Blu-ray and DVD for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing DVDs this week. How cool was that, Steven?
It was awesome.
Pretty wicked, man. Pretty radabonsical. All right, well, let's Sigabuku.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Now, Bill, when you guys were rewatching Veronica Mars, did you hear her say that?
Yes. That and many other drops that we've used in the past that made me get a little tingle of nostalgia.
Isn't that cool when you hear a drop you've heard a thousand times?
Yeah, I really enjoyed rewatching it. I forgot how good it was.
So let's cut the crap.
You know what's funny? One that I hear that I played on the show a lot in probably the early days of Nowhere and Mulberry, and whenever I hear it, it cracks me up. There's a part where Parenthood, remember Tom Hulce plays Steve Martin's like degenerate brother?
Right.
Yeah.
There's a part where he's saying something at the dinner table and, Steve Martin says this, and it always makes me laugh because I think of the drop on the show. It's,
well, that's great, Larry.
It always cracks me up. And I was like, that's a drop! That's great, Larry! But it's so random. It's funny. And it's a horrible quality drop, too. I should probably...
Yeah, it sounds like you recorded that over the phone in front of the TV.
No, what happened... Where that came from is, in the early days of the show, I didn't know how to make drops. And what I would do is go to websites of movie sound clips.
Oh.
And I since have learned on my own to make way better clips than was on any of those sites, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's a certain charm about that.
Yeah. I mean, but I, you know, I got it worked out. Like, you know, the one from Jurassic Park, this was also from one of those websites.
That is one big pile of shit.
That will continue to be one of my favorite Goldblum drops ever.
Yeah. I can remember another one too that, cracked me up. Do you guys remember this one?
PC load letter? What the fuck does that mean?
So wow.
I can't get over the quality on those. Those are wonderful.
Yeah, very good. You know,
that's great.
High definition. Well, everybody
sounds like really awful, like old style compressed MP3s.
I got it from old cassettes. No 8 tracks.
8 tracks.
Now, guys,
right before it switched over to the next track.
Right. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. This was ETL episode 306. This was just a regular show. And it's kind of like a hybrid format, kind of a mixture of ETL Daily and our regular show. And I dug it. What do you guys think?
It's good. Yeah, it's fun. We cut about an hour time out.
Yeah, and maybe people will listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's possible.
No, I'm kidding. I have no idea if people listen all the way to the end. It's cool if you do. I appreciate it.
You know, once I settle in, you know, now that I'm here, I'll be able to watch more stuff. I caught bits and pieces of the new Celebrity Apprentice, and I saw, what was the Dallas Cowboy guy that everyone hated?
Terrell Owens. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I saw him booted off the other night, and shockingly, I thought Ian Ziering would be the one to go, but...
I need to catch up on that, and I actually watched several Pawn Stars today.
Awesome.
And I was entertained
by... I watched some last night.
Is the old man dead yet?
No, he's not, but I'm entertained by their horrible skits in between where they're... It's supposed to be really happening, but I think it's scripted.
Which one was it? They play poker with
No, there's the son. It's got gray hair, and they keep telling him he's just like the old man, and he keeps getting pissed off.
My favorite is the one where Chumlee kills a hooker and they have to dispose of the body.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's hilarious.
That's pretty good. It's always like they call in an expert and he's like, you could probably get like $1,800 for this. And the guy's asking for like $2,500. So he's like, okay, well, thanks a lot. So
$500.
How much you want for this? And he's like, about $1,900. Because he just told you it's worth about $1,800. If I'm going to make a profit, I'll give you $1,000. He's like, nah, I can't take it for any less than $2,000. That's like,
why do those people even bother? They know they're not going to get what they want for it.
I know. It kind of runs, it's a lot like comic book men where they want some way more. And it's like, no, in order for me to sell this for a profit, I can't.
I got to get it at half the price.
Yeah. And I know you want $5,000, but I'll give you $500.
Remember, I'm paying rent on a building and employees.
I could never haggle. I was never good at that. It'd just be
still,
like, I'll give you $20. Okay.
Yeah. My all-time favorite is still the guy that was on Storage Wars and he finds the Nintendo.
You've told this story so many times.
I know, but it's so great. Whenever he's like, this is an NES-001. This is the first one. This is amazing. He's like, I think he thought he had the very first Nintendo. He's like, I've seen these go for like $25,000. He takes it to the shop. I'll give you $5 for it.
Whatever happened to that guy, Bill?
He committed suicide.
I knew you were going to say
that. That's one of my go-to wonderful stories. He committed suicide.
Oh, yeah. It's really sad.
Well, he was didn't do it over that, the Nintendo. Though.
Did he do it?
Next year, they found his body in a storage container.
Did you ever try to commit suicide or anything like that?
It's really not funny at all, Steven. Well, that's terrible.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And if you would like to leave a voicemail, leave it at nimpodcast@gmail.com or call this number, 1206-309-4729. I keep calling that number to keep it active, hence why on shows I'm leaving voicemails. You get to hear people who, you know, they're happy, they're pleased with the show. And I think my voice changes several times, like I kind of am all over the place, but still, I'm entertaining myself.
Would you say you Martin Mall all over the place?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What? Martin Mull all over the place. That guy was a genius, by the way.
He really was. He was actually he was a painter too, which I didn't know.
Oh wow, didn't know it.
Yeah, like an incredible painter.
Was or is?
Yeah, he's still alive.
No, he's dead.
Oh my god,
he committed suicide.
Oh Jesus, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, guys. Also, go to etlandfill.com. You can find all of our shows and even click a link for our archive. We have all sorts of shows that go back for a long time. And you know what's funny, Bill, is when I was testing out, like, we're trying to figure out how to get the sound right, playing that best of, still cracks me up.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I love it. The best of Nora Mulberry from 2011. If you guys haven't listened to any of our old stuff, listen to that. Find that. It's funny. And
yeah, there's pure joy in that.
Especially you get to hear Steven's Chris Rock impression.
I love it.
Oh, my God. I love Steven's Chris Rock impression.
It is really amazing. His Chris Rock impression and his Peter Dinklage impression.
Since I smoked, my taste buds are off.
Chris Rock.
That's Chris Rock right there.
That's amazing. It's uncanny.
I'm being used to my ability.
There's Peter Dinklage. There you
go. Good stuff, Steven.
Little did Steven know that he's the rich little of our time.
They're nuanced, Steven. They're completely different. You know what we haven't done in a long time, guys, is thanked our patrons. Why don't we do that before we say goodnight? And that'll be awesome. Bill and Steven, thank you guys so much for doing the show. It's always great to have you guys together on the show. We always have fun. Am I right?
And I still haven't been able to thank Steven again for the wonderful hotel room he got Natalie and I in Sydney, Nebraska. We enjoyed the hot tub and the pool.
Nice.
We got there at 10 o'clock. We made it an hour before they were closing the pool and hot tub. And, it was perfect because it was freezing cold. There was ice everywhere. And, we were just like, oh God, there's a hot tub. We got to the room, ran down to the hot tub, chilled out for a while, hopped in the pool. It was wonderful.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Steven knows.
I do.
That's we're really incredibly cool, appreciative. It was wonderful of him to do that for us.
You're awesome, sir. Now, I want to thank our patrons, Adam Howard, Jennifer Morris, Robert Bihana, Darren Finland, Paul Ty, Tom Aresto, Todd from the ATL, Steve Steinbach, Brian, Rick Lidster, Marvin, Sean Uyoka, Hodor, John Waltz, Jason Pash, Ken Proventure, Kelly Murray, Jenny, Bill Lochner.
Oh, that guy.
Tom Bickmore, Sreeley Meyer, Carl, Slade Bailey, Brandon, Nathena Lewis, Kelly, B. Sly, Paul Wong Pan, Ross Ponyi. Do we need to wish him a congratulations?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Ross, he has a new baby, doesn't he?
Yes.
Congratulations, Ross,
yes,
to you
Ross.
And your family. That's awesome.
Yay.
Mike Metcalf, Jean-Francois, Mark Anderson, Mr. Anderson, Rob Bickmore, oh, Rob, Sam Abbott, Mr. Frodo. We got to do something for everybody.
Everybody gets a character for
it. Swiley. Heavens to Megatroid. I got nothing. It's Terry Farthing. Michael Kiley.
Wait, why was Wiley Snagglepuss?
I don't know. I just said super saying,
oh, vanish in the skinny area.
Extra, quick time. Stage right.
Stage right.
Skinny air, even.
Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. If you guys would like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. Woohoo! Thank you guys so much for listening. Bill, Steven?
Good
woo! Yeah. Good times! Some great wine.
Pasti Spumani.
Huh?
I don't know.
What are you talking about, Steven?
Good times, great wines. Pasti Spumani.
Commercial? Wait. It was something Pasti Spumani. Something Pasti Spumanti. What is it? Bill, do you know what we're talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, but I have no idea.
I would look it up on YouTube if I even knew how to spell it.
What, Pasti Spumanti?
Yeah.
It's how it sounds. Spumanti. Spimonte.
Spumanti?
Yes.
Martini and Rossi Osti. Osti.
Yes.
Martini and Rossi Osti Spumanti. Yeah.
Martini and Rossi Osti Spumanti.
Yes. What a great song.
Celebration grow. A good taste for good friends. A strong everybody knows. Martini and Rossi Osti Spumanti. When you got good taste, it shows.
Wow, I like how it just trails off like we've got nothing.
And,
just cut it.
And that's it. Okay.
Let's drink the world's worst champagne knockoff, get a splitting headache.
I know.
And
God, I got such a hangover. I want to kill myself.
And watch Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Oh, you know it. All right, guys, that's the show. See you next time. Later, Bill. Later, Steven.
Later.
Later, guys in the chat room.
Casting.